back to visit us. Amen. Sure, it's a blessing to see you, brother. I want to thank God for Sister Dina coming back and everybody coming back. Sure, it's a blessing to see those of you coming back to church. Amen. Let's continue to keep those in prayer that you don't see here at church, and just pray that hopefully they're on their way, and new visitors and everything like that. Let's just continue to ask the Lord to provide and to bless. Amen. So we can continue to not grow weary and well-doing for not only witnessing to the lost, but ministering to the saved so they can keep coming to church. All right, guys, some quick announcements on the church website. I kind of updated it. It looks a little cooler, a little bit more modern, nice little different there. I put our track flyer there as the main thing there. But when you click now on our story, you'll be able to see a little bit about us. There's Sister Katie, amen, Brother Carlos, a little bit about the story there. When you click on our beliefs, you'll be able to see a little updated of everything that our church stands for doctrinally. And then ministry opportunities, amen. You'll see a little bit about our soul winning efforts, amen. And we'll be adding there a new picture coming soon this week. Brother Giovanni from Dunkin' Donuts. We're putting that brother in there, amen. He'll be up there for ministry opportunities. So with that said, we're just going to click on this calendar tab. I don't have it, so thank you, Brother Carlos. I haven't reminded myself. I need to put the calendar tab. But just want to let you guys know that next Thursday is our every other Thursday off. So we'll be off for the Thursday soul winning outreach. Next Saturday, we'll be back on for the soul winning outreach. So if you guys can join us, we're going to go door knocking. And then we're going to go downtown to the pier. And then we're just going to continue in ministry. So please join your church when you can corporately to obey the command from Jesus to go into the world and preach the gospel for our soul winning efforts. Can you do me a favor? Join us when you can for those ministry opportunities. As you guys can see, we like to go door knocking, and then we like to go public outreach downtown. So join us when you can. Those are the immediate announcements that I can make. And then just to let you guys know, we will be having church on Sunday. I don't know if you guys remember, but the New Testament apostles, they didn't stop church for Christmas because there was no Christmas celebration. Anybody out there? And so we continue to meet because it's just what we do as Christians, Bible-believing Christians. You guys know the world out there celebrates Christ's Mass. Christ meaning Jesus, Mass meaning death. I'm not sure about you, friend, but we don't celebrate Christ's Mass. That is the, if you will, commemorating, you know, Jesus dying in that sense for a special service. We celebrate him dying and rising from the dead the third day. And so we just want to remind you, obviously, a lot of religions and churches have their liberties. Amen. So do you. But our church, we're going to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're praying that you come to church for him. We're praying that you come to church to learn the Bible, to learn doctrine, so your life can change and conform to his image. If you need to come here because of presence, then you're in the wrong place. If you need to come here because of fog and LED lights and you want to see a bale bush, then you're coming to the wrong place. We want to introduce you to the man who died for you on that cross. And we want to tell you that that man can change your life if you listen to him and if you obey him. So we exalt Christ here. We just want to let you know we're going to meet. We're going to continue. It's just another day. It's just another day. But y'all can do what you want to do at home. Again, that's your liberty. But we're just saying here at church, we're going to honor Jesus Christ. So that's why we say we're a Christian church, not a fundamentalist church. Because one thing about the fundamentalists is even though they critique every other church that they disagree with, they still have Christmas trees in their sanctuaries, and they still all the. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. That's why we're just Christians. All right. What's next? Announcements. Live stream links. We're only on YouTube right now, so if you can share, like, and subscribe, I sure would appreciate that. Study blogs, you guys can check those out. Those are just some cool little Bible studies that I post online on our website just to edify you in your faith. And last but not least, if you are a member of this church, I hope you are, please remain faithful in your financial giving to support the needs of your church so we can continue to pay the rent, support missionaries when we can, and we just want to trust God that you will be obedient to the scriptures. I just want to read you a couple of these verses before we continue concerning giving. 1 Corinthians 16:1 tells you that on the first day of the week, you should be at church. It says there, let everyone lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. So, first day of the week, Sunday, if you're a Christian, you should be at church and you should set apart your finances as God prospered you for what you purpose on your heart. Look at the second verse here in Corinthians. But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. So again, two times now, first day of the week, lay aside what God prospered you with, let him give. So yes, giving of your finances is a command, but it's up to you to tell God, God, I'm thankful for you this much. Here you go. Whatever you purpose on your heart. And then lastly, for those of you who say, Brother Carlos, I don't make a lot of money. I'm giving. I'm trying to give. I have some debts to pay. I have to take care of business. I encourage you. I encourage you to trust your God one more time. Look at Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So guys, give. Be obedient. You can do so online. We have a box back there. Whatever you purpose, do it with a good heart and see how the Lord will take care of you. Amen. All right, before we dismiss for little church, I'm going to call my wife up here, please. We're going to give a quick testimony of our, if you will, mission trip, soul winning trip to Hillside Baptist in La Puente. But we don't have any pictures. We'll show you next week. But quick story, we didn't have soul winning yesterday because my wife and I, we went up to La Puente to help out a church with their audio and visual and stuff. But we also went to support for their soul winning and their evangelism. So my wife and I hung out with a young couple, Brother Farid and Sister Lucy. They have a baby girl. And what's so cool about their church family is they take care of the baby while they serve the Lord. And they're like our age, 30 and in their late 20s. And they were out there. You know what time they met at church? 8:30 for prayer. Brother Ramirez, the pastor, gives a little quick lesson, a little encouraging verse. Amen. They all come together as the bus workers. And then from 9 o'clock to 2 to 3, we went on visitation. So what does that mean? We were there visiting with them, all the children they pick up on the bus. And they were in Compton. We were in the hood, brother. We went to the projects. Amen. Inglewood, all them Watts, Whittier Boulevard. We were there. It was a blessing. So we went from this house to this apartment. And guys, just seeing that young couple and their love for God, loving on people, meeting their needs, asking the parents how they're doing, if they need anything, loving on the kids, encouraging them to come to church, giving the kids homework for Bible study. We went, and then after we were done visitation, we went what?
Door knocking.
Door knocking.
For another hour and a half. So guys, check this out. 8:30, meet at the church for prayer. 8, 9 o'clock, we'll have breakfast from 9 to about 2. So you're just visiting people that came to church, just asking how they're doing, just seeing how they're doing. And then they saw one going door knocking in the projects on the apartment doors. Amen. We had the opportunity to lead a couple of people to Jesus Christ. Amen. That was a blessing for salvation. And then hopefully they just get plugged into the church. They also did too, right? So what was your testimony? And then you can go ahead and be dismissed with the kids. Go ahead.
It was a different kind of experience, a different kind of way of that I've seen going out and soul winning and just pretty much seeing the love that they had for each child and each home they went into, regardless of what was in there, how it looked, how broken it was, you know. They loved on those kids. They received what the kids or the families gave to them, you know, without any second thought. They had such a good relationship with the parents, with the children. They had these little worksheets that they have the kids work on that were really cool. They're really engaged in what they have is like different kind of scriptures so that they can learn. And then they have them pray before they do their work. And then they turn it on Sunday and they get a look like a prize. So it encourages them to keep coming to church and keep wanting to, you know, serve.
Hot dogs, Diego, hot dogs.
And pizza. They had hot dogs and pizza. So when we were doing the door knocking, there was this one girl. Her name was, I think her name was Caitlin. And she looked like she was maybe 13 or 14. And she opened the door. You know, her mom was showering. You know, we were able to kind of share a little bit with her about the gospel. And she was really broken. This little girl was really broken. She started just breaking down, saying that she felt she couldn't pray. She felt like she used to go to church. They used to go and then they stopped going. And now it's been a while. And so now she feels like convicted when she prays. And she's like, it just doesn't feel right because I don't go to church. I don't learn about God. And she just started breaking down with us. And so we got to share with her that, you know, the Lord never leaves her nor forsakes her if she accepts the Lord into her heart. and that he will be there with her when she's struggling, when she's going through whatever she's going through, the struggles of life as a teen in that area. And she wanted to accept the Lord into her heart as her Lord and Savior. And so we were able to pray with her and just breaking down with her. And, you know, it was a beautiful moment. They're able to write down the information, and hopefully they're going to, she's going to church this morning. So a lot of this families, a lot of the experiences that we like went to, there was this guy, this group of people, two women and a gentleman, and he was drinking. And he stopped drinking, like he took another gulp, but then he stopped and put it behind his back while we were sharing the gospel, while Carlos was sharing with them. And he was just being honest. He's like, I struggle with the demons, you know, I'm just allowing them to talk to me and to get a hold of me, and I'm making wrong decisions. And so he's like, he asked for prayer, because in first we tried to give him a track and he was like, no,
he's like, nah,
you know,
he's
the, like an OG guy, the girls guy. Took it.
No, man, I'm cool, man, I'm cool.
And he didn't, he just stood back while we were ministering to them and asking if they needed any prayer. And then that's when he's like, can you pray for my demons, you know, can you pray for me not to give in to them? And and so we were able to pray with him and witness to them. And it was a blessing. It was really cool. It's really humbling, you know, to go to another area that's extremely less fortunate than you and see the joy that the kids had and wanting, running up to them, you know, and just to go to church. I want to go to church tomorrow. I want to go, you know, I want to get picked up, you know. And they, it was just an awesome experience overall. Really tiring because we were out there for so long, but then you got to see the joy in all the kids, even in Lucy and her husband and the other young man, just having a desire to serve and wanting to go out for all that time. And then afterwards doing the door knocking, then going soul winning. And then after that, then going to the church and just like Carlos and I were helping with like the sound ministry. It was just a blessing in everything. It was like a long day, but it felt so good just being able to serve alongside other brothers and sisters and see how they are able to witness. So it was an encouragement. It really was.
Thank you, Sister Katie. Appreciate you. Little church, y'all can go with Miss Katie now. Little church, y'all can go with Miss Katie. So guys, thank you for your prayers. My wife and I are going to make some adjustments, and I'll just let you know, church, today. Next year, we are going to start meeting here at 10 o'clock. We are going to door knock for a couple hours, and then we're going to take a break, have some lunch, and then go downtown to the pier for another hour and a half, and then we'll call it a day. Because guys, they do it every Saturday. Every Saturday. Young Fareed and his wife Lucy, they got a little baby girl. And when they can't get the folks to take care of the baby, they get that baby stroller and they take her soul winning too. And you know what's awesome, guys, is they're only like 30 and 20 something, just our age, young folks here. And they love doing it for Jesus. So guys, I'm telling you, there's no excuse. You are your greatest excuse. Your God is in you and he wants to save people. He wants to change your life. You just have to say, God, here I am. Send me, like Isaiah. And watch how the Lord will bless you. So guys, we're just going to start wanting to do a little bit more for God next year, just because of that influence. So if you guys can, next year, I want you to start redirecting your mind for Jesus. I want to serve the Lord a little bit more. 10 o'clock prayer. Go door knocking for a couple hours. Come back here, have lunch with each other as a family. And then go downtown, soul win a little bit more. And then keep on going. And then next year, I want to try to do 1 week of the book of Acts. Remember how I mentioned that? Let's try and plan it for 1 week when we all can come in agreement. Maybe it's in July, maybe it's in August. Let's do 1 week like they did in Acts, where we soul win every day, and then we have dinner with each other every day. How about that? Let's try to do it 1 week just like they did, and let's see if we can all have a good time. Let's plan it out together as church. Just pray about it. Maybe, you know, July somewhere where we can make time, where we can be like, let's just do like they did one time. Just 1 week like they did, because they did it for how long, guys? Remember we studied? For one whole year, every day, fellowshipping, soul winning, eating dinner together, breaking bread. Let's try to do it for 1 week. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you for a faithful wife. And thank you for a church that you guys are praying for us. So guys, I love Jesus. Amen. And we're just going to be sold out for the Lord. Looking forward to this coming up next year. Do me a favor, church. Turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 3. I want to encourage you, if you have the ability to have a physical Bible in your hand, please get it. Please read it. And that way you can discipline your brain. and also your body to lift the scriptures. Amen. Some of y'all are easy to lift up them TV remotes. Some of y'all are easy to lift up them cell phones to watch some videos you like to watch. Pick up that Bible and open up them pages and start reading. Amen. That's going to help you discipline them little gaming thumbs. Can I get an amen? All right. Galatians chapter number 3. We're going to continue in our verse-by-verse study here. And then little church, be ready. Sister Katie is going to take you guys soon. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 8. We're going to read through the scriptures and then we'll pray. Bible says here, starting in verse number 8, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." Oh, excuse me, be blessed. "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, that the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law." Last verse. "But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." Father in heaven, once again, I come before your throne of grace. I need your help this morning to be able to teach this holy Bible. I know I'm a wretched man, God. I know I come short of your glory daily. I agree with your word, Lord, that this old flesh of mine sins against you daily. I ask, God, that you'd forgive me this morning, that the power of the gospel of your son, Jesus Christ, would continue to have an effect upon my life, that it would cleanse me from the filth of my flesh and of my spirit. And I just pray now that the Holy Spirit would fill me now and help me to be a vessel to be used to instruct and teach these, your members, to be more like Jesus, your son. Lord, I thank you for every member that came here to church. However you need to deal with them, however you need to speak to them, I pray your Holy Spirit would minister to their spirit. Even if I make mistakes, God, please overlook them to minister to them for what they need to hear from today's message. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, let's go back to verse number 8, Galatians chapter 3. The Bible says here, "And the scripture, foreseeing," etc., etc. The word scripture appears 32 times in your King James Bible. The word scriptures, plural, appears 21 times likewise. For the first mention, however, I want to begin to establish the basis for today's message. For the following couple of minutes, 5 minutes, just do me a favor, look up to the screen. I'm going to make this easy for you, and then I'll ask you to turn your Bible there. But I'm just going to go over these quickly. Daniel chapter number 10 is the first mention of the word scripture in your Bible, and I want it to set the premise for the rest of this message by building off from here. Bible says in Daniel chapter 10, verse 21, here we have the angel letting Daniel know, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." So, as we continue for the rest of this message, I want you to understand something. The Bible you hold in your hand is the scripture of truth. If you want your life to change, you have to believe that. And you have to let it have its effect within your life. The Bible is truth. All right, second mention, I'm going to go to John chapter number 7. And look with me on the screen here in verse number 38. John 7, verse number 38. Jesus said here, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, even though you're not going to get a specific reference to parallel that in your Old Testament, the closest, Jeremiah 2:13, Jeremiah 17:13, the Bible calls the Lord the fountain of living waters. I just want you to focus on that key word, believeth, concerning belief in him. The scriptures have been revealed and preserved as the immediate means of God's dealings between you and him. What do I mean by that? If you and I seek to know the thoughts of God about something within my life, his doctrine concerning things of old or things to come, the scriptures are his place and voice of authority now, while his bodily presence is absent from the earth. So what you have in your hand, the scriptures, is the thoughts of God right there in your lap. You don't have the bodily presence of him right now in Jerusalem. He'll come. But until he comes, you know what you have? You have his word right there, right there. How about that? So allow me now to give you an example of what we're discussing concerning these things. Look up here to the screen now, Romans chapter 10. Right now, we're just giving you an introduction to our message concerning the scriptures. Look at Romans 10. I'm going to give you one quick example of what I mean by that. The Bible says here, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Parallel that back with Galatians 3:8 about how the scripture foresaw that God would justify the heathen through faith. How can you have assurance of your salvation today? By what saith the scriptures? Are you following with me? So friend, it sounds kind of, you know, a little unique, or if you will, redundant to remind you, because a lot of you are already Bible believing Christians. You guys are mature on what we're discussing, but I must remind some of you who still doubt, some of you who still allow your feelings to try to tell you one thing over here, but you know what the Bible says over there. I'm just here to tell you, if you trust the scriptures, that's how you know you're saved, because that's the voice of God while you have that in your lap while you're on this earth and he's absent. So why is this important? Because Galatians 3:22 tells us that all are under sin. The scripture hath concluded the Jew and the Gentile all under sin. So today, friend, the scriptures, not church traditions, not isms of men, but the scriptures declare that everybody from Adam and onward after he sinned are all under sin. And the only means for man's hope to be saved, to be justified and to be declared right with God, is by the scriptures, the promise that it gives you if you believe. Now, turn your Bible with me to 2 Timothy 3:16. Turn there with me now in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It's going to be towards the right-hand side of your Bible. Let's start learning where scripture is, amen? 2 Timothy 3:16. Here's what your Bible says. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As we continue to read today, and those of you who are under my voice, you need to let the scriptures teach you today. You need to let the scriptures dictate your life today. You need to let the scriptures command your life today. And listen, wherever you have a faulty thought, wherever you have ignorance concerning Bible understanding, I hope you're listening now. Wherever you may have anything living in your life that is contrary to the will of God for your life, you need to let your pastor take the scriptures to teach you how to live right before God. Are you listening now? Let me show you two more now, and we're going to continue. Look at now Proverbs chapter 19. Go ahead and turn your Bible there. Proverbs chapter 19. I'm going to remind you of the promise of scripture when you allow scripture to instruct you. And I'm also going to give you the warning today if you refuse to let the pastor give you the scriptures to instruct you. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 20. The Bible says here, friend, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Some of you did not grow up in a Christian home, just like me. Some of you didn't get saved until later on, just like me. But if you let the scriptures teach you how to live life the rest of your life God's way, you know what the Lord said there? You'll be wise in your latter end. But what's the flip? If you refuse to let the scriptures instruct you on how to live before God, you will not be wise in the latter end. Are you following now? Look at verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear in the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Some of you allow yourself to listen more to the world and to the instruction from the world than the word of God. And that's your problem. That's why you're not learning more about God. That's why you're not understanding and discerning the will of God for your life on how to live and how to dress and how to give and how to do what you need to do within your structure of the home. You know what the Lord said there? You need to stop listening to them and you need to start listening to me. Son, you better stop listening to that woman or that man over there or that Instagram or that TikTok for those of you in the modern day age. You need to stop listening to the words that will cause you to err. You need to listen to wise counsel. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, still in this neighborhood. Again, church, we're just introducing to you the material for today. Look at Proverbs chapter 8 in verse number 6. The Bible says, hear. Two times now, what did God say? Hear. Hear, listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be what? Right things. And you know what will please God this afternoon? When your heart and your mind listen, submit, and obey His scriptures. Let me show you one more in this neighborhood. Look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 16. Notice, brothers, I'm only giving you the scriptures, amen? Look at what the Lord said. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. You know what's going to please God? When you as his son and you as his daughter start speaking right things. You're going to start talking like him. You're going to start thinking like him. You're going to start living like him. You're going to let the word of God instruct you on how to live for God. You know, the Lord said, my heart is going to rejoice when I start seeing that come out of your life. So you know why God doesn't get happy with you? Is because you're not letting him instruct you on right living. And hence, you're not listening. You're not taking heed to the counsel and to the instruction. Brother, I care about you. That's why I'm telling you, sister. I'm telling you. So now, as we continue our study, the only way to prevent private interpretation is when you set aside your commentary from the scriptures, because Jesus said the reason people err in their understanding of him is because they don't know the scriptures. You can read that in Matthew 22, verse 29. Anyone here today, Jesus can help you to understand when your heart and your mind are ready to listen and to believe. Luke 24, 45. Turn your Bible with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Again, we are just introducing to you the material. We're preparing ourselves for the message. And as you guys can see, I am just giving you the scriptures on where the heart of God is for you, in other words, on how to respond properly to his word. Look it with me now in Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. The Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the... Anybody out there? Anybody else? Does anybody have their Bible open here? Can somebody read that for me? Let's try that one more time. Anybody? There you go. Might have hope. So learning should be the motivation for why you came to church today, not the LED lights, not the fog machine, not the Christmas tree, not the play, not the singing. Learning God's scriptures should be your motivation for why you came to church today. Now, let's go back to our base text in Galatians chapter 3. So now that we laid the foundation, brother and sister, if you want your life to change today, then you need to obey the scriptures. You need to hear the word of God. You need to allow the man of God to instruct you in the word of God, and you need to obey the scriptures. That's how God is going to keep you learning. That's how he's going to keep you growing. But if you refuse to listen to sound doctrine, and if you refuse to listen to the scriptures, no wonder why your life is not changing, and no wonder why you're battling with the Spirit of God in your conscience today concerning that. I'm just warning you. I'm just warning you. So now, come back with me to the base text. Look at verse number 8 again. And the scripture, Galatians 3, that's going to be our base text, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So notice here, friend, we are discussing they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. as the Holy Spirit continues to instruct us through this epistle, he is going to have two contrasting groups of people. One, people that are of faith, and then two, people that are of the works of the law. The people that are of faith are those who respond to the word of God in faith, and they are therefore heirs of the promise. People who don't respond to the word of God in faith, but the laws of God in physical conduct and physical practice are going to be under the curse. We're going to see that in a few verses. Turn your Bible now with me to verse number 10. For as many as are of the works of the law, do you see there? So brother and sister, I hope you're paying attention. Look at verse number 9 again. For as many as of the works of the law, contrast that with verse number 9. They which be of faith. So notice, two different people. Somebody is trying to be made right with God by faith. The other is trying to be made right with God by their works. Notice verse 10. As many as are of the works of the law are under the what? Curse. That's what you get for trying to be made right with God by the works of the law. You have a curse. Because if you fail in one point, you fail all points. The Bible says in verse 10, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you want the Old Testament reference there, that's going to be back there in the book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy 27, verse number 26. So now listen here. Let's continue reading on in verse number 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Do me a favor, turn your Bible to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles now to Romans chapter 5. Remember, guys, you guys came to church to learn about God and the scriptures. If you guys came here for a Christmas tree, you came to the wrong place. If you came here for a Halloween play, you came to the wrong place. If you came here to be made right with God by learning what God said are right things to do and right doctrines to believe in, then you came to the right place, because here is a Bible-based, Bible-believing church. We are just trying to feed you the scriptures that can change your life, brother. That Christmas tree is going to die. You buy it from Home Depot. Come on now. That thing's going to die in a couple of weeks. Y'all need to keep watering that. The Word of God, that Word of God ain't going to die. Amen. Now look at verse number 20, Romans chapter 5. The Bible says here, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. When the law was dispensed to Moses on Mount Sinai, back there in Exodus chapter 21, the law was added to the covenant that God had already made with Abraham. That's what Galatians is reminding the believers of. The law has nothing to do with the promise. That's what Galatians 3 is telling you. The law cannot change the promise that God made with Abraham. That's what Galatians 3 is teaching us. But why did the law enter? Why was it added? God told you it was added because of transgression. So here's what that means. Israel, I redeemed you. Israel, I brought you out of Egypt. Israel, I want you to go over there and live like this. But Israel, if you keep lusting after the opposite sex, that's a sin. Israel, if you steal, that's a sin. Israel, if you have idols, that's a sin. So what did the law do? It brought about the awareness of their sinful living that they were already living. Now they are without excuse, because the law says here, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And if they transgress any of these commandments, you know what the book said? Cursed. There's a curse. So once again, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. They're already sinning. They're living life in rebellion against God. So here God gives the law to Moses to point out to that Hebrew man or that Hebrew woman, oh, that's a sin because the law says. Oh, this is a sin because the law says. So that's what we're trying to establish before you today. Go back to one chapter. Look at Romans 4. Romans chapter 4, look with me in verse number 15. Actually, let's read verse number 13, Romans 4, 13. The Bible says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of what? Faith. Abraham, justified by grace through faith, that is what the scripture said, how you would be saved today. Mexican or white man or black man or green man, whoever you are here today. The same way that Abraham was justified by the grace of God through the righteousness of faith is the same way the scripture foresaw that all the different people on the earth would be saved by trusting the gospel. Verse 14, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh what? Wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. So once again, we've already discussed in length and detail that the laws dispensed to Moses for the nation of Israel have no effect for salvation for the soul, but faith alone. Let's go back now to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And follow along with me now in verse number 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice again, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth or addeth thereto. So here we have it. Jesus Christ fulfilled the requirements of God's laws, that as a man, he might become the head of man's race, whereby he could become its redeemer, its savior. This, my friend, is the reason Jesus died for your sins, because both Jews and Gentiles then and now were incapable of obeying God's laws inwardly and outwardly 24/7 from birth until death. So remember, God's laws for the nation of Israel proclaimed a curse upon all who continue not in all things written therein, Deuteronomy 27:26. But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he bore the curse of the law, so that whoever believes and trusts in him would have complete justification from God's curse, because he fulfilled the law's demands. Look, look with me now in verse number 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Do me a favor and go back now to Romans chapter 3. Once again, what are we feeding you? The scriptures. The scriptures. This is where you're going to find everything you need on how to live right before God, how to think right about God, and then how to obey God rightly. That was good. That was good. Hope you recorded that, Brother Felipe. That was good. All right, let's go. Verse 20. Romans 3. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. God made it very clear. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the law does. It tells you you're a sinner. It says your thoughts, wrong. Your acts, wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. This is how God holy is, and this is how wretched you are. The law brings about the awareness that you're a sinner, and hence it points you to someone that you need to save you from that wrath and curse to come. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law in the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. So that's the good news. Galatians 3:14 through 15 with Romans 3:20 through 22. Christ Jesus became a curse for you so that he can redeem you from the curse of the law. It is now his righteousness that can be fully given to you and imputed unto you. And God said that the law and the prophets witness that it would not be by it. Verse number 21. But it pointed to one to come, and that is Jesus Christ, the promise of the heir of Abraham. Go back to Galatians 3, the seed, the seed. So now let's continue in Galatians chapter 3. Let's go back to our base text now. We're just laying down the foundation to remind you. Galatians chapter number 3, turn your Bible now back with me to our base text. Let's go to verse number 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, that would be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth or addeth thereto. Here's just a basic understanding about a man's covenant. When a person has a dealing or an agreement with one, there is an agreement with someone, if you will, through an oath made, if you will. No one changes or no one alters that. It's a basic analogy or reference to something that even sinners can make between themselves. So notice how he talks about that in verse number 15. After the manner of men, when a man says, here's what I agree to do, here's where you are accepting my agreement, we're both mutual in agreement, it's done, it's settled. And now he's going to use that same reference to God and his covenant. Look at verse number 16. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Go back to Romans 3. That's what we talked about, Romans 4. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Let's go ahead and stop there for a minute. The law does not alter the covenant God made with Abraham. It doesn't change it. It does not nullify it. It doesn't weaken it. It doesn't modify it. It doesn't. The law was added to Abraham's covenant or promise because of the transgressions of his covenant people. From oral or even unto written tradition, God had revealed to Abraham to teach his seed, but it wasn't until his seed received the law on stone. Remember that, Exodus 21. So, all the previous oral commands were established, for example, murder and stealing. Go back all the way to Genesis, man knew that that was wrong. But since the law, both Jew and Gentile were now without excuse because the law was given. So now look at verse number 19 and 20 here in verse in Galatians. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. So what I want to point out, come back up here now to Galatians chapter 3:17. When God confirmed a covenant with the word. Now, we're going to talk about some theology, so I really need you to focus with me for these next couple of minutes. Notice the careful distinction in your King James Bible. It says here, the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, comma, the law, comma. So notice two things. There is a covenant between God and Jesus Christ, separate, comma, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. So now, again, I'm just going to give you a little bit of theology, brother and sister. I need you to do your best now to pay attention. There was already an established agreement between the Father and the Son, and that was before the law. That law is not going to alter that agreement between the Father and the Son. Hang out with me on that thought, and now let's keep going. Look at now in verse number 18. If the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serve the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the what? Promise was made. Are you listening now? It was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So, a little bit of theology. God, covenant with Christ before the law. The law was added 430 years after. It is not going to change the promise the Father made with the Son, and it's not going to change the promise that the Father made with Abraham. So stick now with me. It's obvious now, friend, that through the assistance of a mediator, even with an agreement made with someone outside of God himself, God made a promise. Abraham failed at times, along with his seed, to keep their end of the covenant. Hence, God added the law between himself and his covenant people, that is the nation of Israel, for their understanding of that covenant. Turn your Bible now with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. We're going to talk about this role of the mediator now between God and Israel through the man Moses. And he is going to serve as what we call a picture of Jesus Christ mediating between the New Testament church and the Father. So Moses is going to be a picture of the mediator to come, Jesus Christ, on behalf of, in between of God and his people, to teach them how to live. Are you guys ready? It's going to be really cool. So turn your Bible now with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let's go there. All right, so Moses calling all Israel, he is hearkening them to listen to the commands of God. Hear, hear, O Israel, etc. He is going to remind them of the statutes and the judgments that he's going to preach to them, teach them, that they will learn it, keep them, do them. Verse 1. Look at verse 2. The Lord our God made a covenant with us. So now, when you guys do your Bible studies at home, all you're going to do is type in that word covenant. You're going to see New Testament covenant, Old Testament covenant, and now as you begin to rightly divide, you're going to understand, here we have God, Jehovah, making a covenant with his people, Israel. How is this a picture or a relation to the New Testament doctrine for the church? That's what Galatians is going to teach you about. So now let's keep going. Verse number 3. The Lord made this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. So remember, when he brought out the nation of Israel from Egypt, the first generation of the Hebrews died. The second generation, their children, they made it through the Red Sea. Moses is just reminding them, God made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, with Isaac, Jacob. He made a covenant with our fathers. But that continues even with us, his seed. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time. What did Galatians 3 tell you? In the hand of a mediator. So Moses is mediating between Jehovah and Israel. He is talking from the top of the mountain. Israel is at the bottom of the mountain. But remember the story. They were afraid. They were so fearful and terrified at the glorious awe and power and presence of God. There was fire. There was smoke on that mountain. I mean, it was scary. It was terrifying stuff. They were so fearful. They told Moses, Moses, you talk to God. We don't want to listen because we don't want to die. Whatever he says, we'll do. But you stand between us. You mediate between us because we can't talk with him. So look at what he said in verse 5. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for ye were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, etc., etc. So then he repeats the Ten Commandments. So what do we have here, church? We have Moses, and he stood between Israel and the Lord, and he reminds them of the law. Go now to verse number 16. Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. let's just keep going there. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Verse number 22. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, and with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. So remember, guys, he is just rehearsing what God did a long time ago. So here we have God on the top of the mountain. Israel is at the bottom. Moses is relaying to them the words of God. What is he doing? He is mediating. He is teaching. He is representing God to the people with his voice written down concerning his laws and his commands. Moses is not the word of God, but mediates between man and God concerning his laws. If you want to go back to the story for where this was taking place, you can go back to Exodus chapter number 20. So from here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, where you're at in your Bible, verses 22 all the way down through 31, you guys can just read it on your own time. He is just rehearsing what he did in the mediatory process between them and Israel. When you guys get a chance, you guys can go ahead and read it on your own time. Let's go to Psalm 106. Psalm 106 in your Bible. And let's continue to learn the Bible. Let's continue to learn scriptures. Look at verse number 19 in Psalm 106. A long time ago, when God gave the Ten Commandments, remember Moses was up there 40 days and 40 nights. When he came back down from the mountain, what did he hear? A sound in the camp. Joshua said, it's the sound of war. Moses said, nah, they're playing. They're partying. They're bumping that music. They're bumping the cumbias. They're bumping the Hebrew cumbias. They're all dancing naked, having some crazy stuff going down there. They made a little image, a little idol, a molten calf. Remember the golden calf? They were worshiping that thing. Remember that? Look at verse 19. They made a calf in Oreb and worshiped the molten image right after God gave the law to Moses. Right after they said, God, we will do whatever you want us to do, the covenant. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgat God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them. Now listen. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them? You know what Moses was? He was a mediator. You know what he did? He mediated between Israel and Jehovah. When God became angry with his people and he was about to take them all out, he was about to smoke them, y'all. He was about to kill them all. Moses interceded and said, Lord, please don't do it. Don't you remember, God, what you said to Abraham? God, don't you remember what you said to Jacob? Don't you remember what you promised Isaac? God, if you do this, what is the world going to say about you? You brought all these people out of Egypt just to smoke them out here. God, you know they're stubborn. You know they're stiff-necked. You know they're being silly. They're being disobedient. But God, just remember what you said to that guy a long time ago. You know what Moses did? He mediated. What's the second duty of Moses' mediation? He prayed on the behalf of his people before the Lord, that he would pardon the people for his sake. And God would rightfully, he could have rightfully destroyed the people, but Moses sought to intercede. You can read that in Exodus 32 through 34. Moses would talk to God on behalf of the people and vice versa. There's someone who talks to God on your behalf today, friend, when you sin against God. When you anger God because you break his laws, there's someone to appease his wrath. And you know who his name is? Jesus Christ. You know what that Bible says in your New Testament? When you sin against the Father, he is there to mediate on your behalf. He is there to remind God the Father, Father, remember, you gave them a promise. Father, remember, you told me I could save them, I could preserve them, I could keep them for eternity. Father, remember my blood. Every time you sin against God. Isn't that crazy? Look at 1 John 2, friend. This is not in our notes. This is Brother Carlos. Look at 1 John 2. Let's go here real fast, real fast. Look up to the screen. 1 John chapter number 2. Let's read this real quick. Look at verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. You know what you just read? The scriptures. You know what God said? If you listen and if you let the scriptures instruct you, you'll be wise in your latter end. The reason why you have troubles right now in your flesh is because you didn't listen to God when you were younger. You sinned against God. If you want to have a better life before you die, listen to God and don't sin anymore. Anybody out here? And if any man sin, because I'm not perfect, we have an advocate with the Father. Are you ready? Jesus Christ, the righteous. You know what you have before the Father? You have a lawyer. You have someone to represent you on your behalf. There was a man a long time ago. His name was Job. And they say that he was the first one to write down scripture. Now, I don't know how true that is. I don't know how not true it is. It doesn't matter because it was a long time ago. We have it in our Bible. That's all I can safely say. But this man was going through a lot of turmoil. For some of you who say, man, I'm going through some things in life. Oh, man, I'm so bummed out. And your negative net what's the other one about there's negative net and then there's negative Nancy and doubting Donna. I don't know what they're saying. Okay. But anyways, for those of you who say, man, I'm having a bad day, okay? Debbie Downer, there you go. Man, I'm just so Debbie Down. What's the elephant or that little animal in the poo story? Or what's that, the bear? Igor. Don't be Igor today, y'all. I'm just having a bad... Look, let me tell you about Igor, right? This guy, Job, you guys know what happened to his children? They got killed. You know what happened to his life? He got boils. He got leprosy of some kind of sort. And he just was so down on the floor with some friends who spent a week with him, crying with him, just hanging out with him. And he was just so in his heart and his mind saddened by the condition of his state. And he just asked God if there was only if there was a daysman between me and God, someone who can put his hand on me, and someone who can put his hand on God and mediate between us so that way he can know how I feel down here, how miserable I am and how wretched I am and all the pain I'm going through. If only there was someone who could stand in the gap between us so that way he can understand how I feel. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. That someone came. Job, the prayer was heard. His name is Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 in your Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at with me now in verse number 3. Oh, I'm in 2 Timothy 2. No wonder it's not there. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Do you see there? And by the way, I'll just quickly show you on the screen. You don't have to turn there. Just look up to the screen real quick. Job chapter 9. That word daysman that he was talking about in 32 through 33 back here. Look here. For he is not a man as I am that I should answer him and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon his both. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Can you turn there with me? Hebrews 4. I want to remind you guys of some good news here today. If there's anybody here today feeling helpless, if there's anybody here feeling like no one knows what I'm going through, if there's someone here today that feels like maybe God doesn't know you personally and he really is far out from understanding your feelings of infirmity, of why you continue to give in to your flesh, I'm here to remind you of the scriptures to tell you there is hope from the scriptures, not Brother Carlos, the scriptures, not my experience, the scriptures that if you have a mediator between you and God, he does understand. He does understand. He can help you. Look at Hebrews 4. Look at verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, say it with me, church, the Son of, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ was tempted like you. Jesus Christ knew what it felt like to want to give in to the thing that you gave into. But he was God, and he resisted. So when you trust him and you ask him to be your Savior, not only will he take care of the legal penalty between you and the Father so the Father doesn't send you to hell, he can take care of the relationship between you and the Father so the Father's anger doesn't abide forever. So when you come short of the Father's glory, the Son of God who has passed into the heavens, who knows what it feels like to give in to the thing you felt like, can tell the Father, Father, I understand. I know what they're going through. They're asking me to forgive them, Father, and I'm asking you to pardon them for my sake. I'm going to help them. I know why she keeps going through that. I know why he keeps going through that. But Father, if you just let me to continue to help him here. Father, if you just give me a little bit more time, I'm just going to help him out over here. I'm going to get him through it. You know what the Father does? He listens to the mediator. He listens to the one standing between you and God. You know what your problem is? You're not talking to the mediator. You keep looking to the world and you keep letting something else and someone else come in between you and your relationship between God. No wonder why you're not finding relief here today, Christian. I'm here to tell you, that mediator, he loves you. I'm here to tell you, that mediator, he was tempted like you are in all things. But look at what he said. Look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Christian, you have a mediator. You have someone who can put his hand on you. Someone who can put his hand on the Father and say, Father, I'm going to help this son of mine. I'm going to help this daughter of mine, even though she keeps not listening to me, even though he keeps not listening to me. I know what they feel like. I went through that, but I can see deep down in there they don't want to do it. I'm going to deal with them a little bit more, Father, but I'm going to help them. You know what the Father does? He listens to the Son, and he will honor the Son's faith because he's your mediator. Man, isn't that good? A couple more places. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in your Bible, we have a mediator. Moses, mediator between the nation of Israel and God. Jesus Christ, mediator between God and the world. Mediator between God and the world who believes in him, who become Christians. He can mediate, he can save, he can reconcile. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. Bible says, to it, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. When Jesus Christ was on this earth, God was in him saving sinners. God was in him forgetting sinners, and God was in him reconciling sinners to himself. For those of you who became Christians, you became now an ambassador of Jesus. What does that mean? A messenger. Someone sent on his behalf to delegate. And you know now, as a Christian, as an ambassador of that mediator of God, you know what? We pray at times for you. We pray for you to be reconciled to God. So don't stop a Christian trying to be an ambassador to reconnect you to the mediator between you and God to get your life back on track, to get your life back living righteously. Are you guys here with me? You know, John 14:6, he's the way, the truth, and the life. God reveals his plan of salvation through the cross of Christ. After we trust him, God gave us New Testament Christians, laws, etc., how to live for him. The beauty of the mediator is the advocate, because every time we fail, every time we sin, every time we transgress his commands, Jesus mediates. You know what's crazy? Sometimes when you guys offend each other, you don't talk to each other. Isn't that true? You don't talk to each other. You get angry. When you sin against the Father, Jesus still talks on your behalf. He is still willing to talk on your behalf even though you don't talk to him. Even though you don't ask him to forgive you, even though you don't ask him to help you, he still mediates. You know why? Because he loves you. I'm telling you today, friend, sometimes all these doctrines we try to learn, these basic attributes of the God you believe in is what changes your entire life. Patience, grace. He will still mediate even though you don't talk to him. That's how good of a God you have. So the next time that you get offended by trying to be an ambassador, to just say, brother, sister, can you just be reconciled to God? Can you just get that thing right in your life with God? Don't be upset. You better thank that person for trying to be there for you, because that's the job of the mediator. Wow. Almost done. A couple more minutes. We're going to come to a close. Jesus enters the throne room of grace. You know what he does? He petitions. He mediates pardon. Because Jesus Christ reminds the Father of his promise and the covenant he gave him concerning eternal life. That's the covenant made before of God in Christ, Galatians 3. John 10, John 17, 1 John 5, eternal life. So now, remember, Old Testament, Moses, mediator, teaching Old Testament saints how to live. He mediated on their behalf between them and God. And when they failed to live up to his commands, he interceded. Likewise, the Holy Spirit reminds us through Galatians, it's only faith alone in Christ that is our means of salvation. And Christ commands his disciples how to live after salvation. But when Christians fail to live in obedience to the faith of Christ, it is the faith of Christ that preserves them through his office of the mediator, the high priest. Justified by faith in Christ, not works. When we live by the faith of Christ while we are still in this flesh, we're crucified with him. Remember that? Living by the faith of the Son of God. We can see here a great picture between Moses mediating and Jesus Christ. How he taught man how to be saved, and when those who God saves come short or fall short, how he mediates on their behalf. That is, between him and his people. That's a powerful lesson. So, an application today, what is the role of a mediator in a marriage when a husband and wife are not getting along, in a government situation between two and foreign countries? It's when parties may not like the agreement, but that's where the mediator assists to communicate on behalf of both parties to find the resolution. Christ Jesus reaches one hand to God and the other to man that he might reconcile both in himself and the crosswork of Calvary. So let's go back now to our base text, and we're going to close Galatians chapter 3. It's good today to know, friend, that there's someone who loves you. It's good to know that there's someone who will not give up on you, even though you give up on him almost every single day. It's good to know that he reminds the Father of the promise, and the Father will honor the promise because he honors his Son. Now look at here, in verse number 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So today, how many of you guys have believed in Jesus Christ? Pretty much all of you. Then you're saved. You're justified because of the authority of the, who listened earlier? Scriptures. And because the Scriptures gave you the promise, then that's how you know. So then if the Scriptures remind you of your salvation, your preservation, and your justification, what else did we learn today? It reminds you of the mediator. The only reason why all that can come true is because one man never failed God, Jesus Christ. So now as you move forward, when you fail him, because you will, and when you have, here's what you do. You go back to the throne room of grace, and you pray to the Father, and you say, Father, I pray that you would hear me as I ask you to forgive me, not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ. Father, hear me for his name's sake. Father, thank you that you only love me because you love your son. I love your son. I received him. Father, I pray that you would hear him over me today. And then you ask him to forgive you. Talk to him about those sins because he's going to listen to his son. He's going to mediate between those parties. All right? Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the Scriptures today. Lord, I am listening. I want to hear. I want to be instructed on how to live right, as the Scripture said. Father, I know some of the saints here are coming to church. It's such a blessing to see them. Some of them have been hearing. Some of them have been not hearing. Some of them have been listening. Some of them have been ignoring. But today, my God, I hope and pray that before they leave, they would leave differently, learning the truths of the work of the mediator. Father, I pray that if anybody here has any unconfessed sin in their heart, while I'm praying, I pray that they would begin to pray. And I pray, Father, that you would hear us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. My God, I agree with your word that we all come short of your glory. My God, I agree with your word that none of us are perfect. I agree and believe with your word, Father, that Jesus Christ was the only perfect man who lived. But I know that I have eternal life, forgiveness of my sins, because your Scriptures told me so. And Lord God, as the Scriptures taught all of us here today, for those of us who've been saved by trusting Jesus, Father, would you listen to Jesus on our behalf, because he is our advocate. He is the one who mediates between us, Father. Father, when I come short, would you look to Jesus? When I sin, would you look to Jesus? Because I know, my God, you will not give up on him, even though I give up on him, and even though I don't talk to him. God, some of these folks haven't talked to you in a little bit. They haven't been spending time with you, God, these past couple of days. I pray, Lord, that before they leave today, they'd get their heart right with you in prayer, in their heart, so they can remind themselves of this great truth, this great promise that their mediator hasn't failed mediating on their behalf. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you do for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. What do we say, church? Amen. Church, I love you all. May the Lord bless you. Please have a great rest of your day. Amen. The Lord bless.